This is a replay of the Thursday night, April 10th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, which isn't going to happen again soon, I don't think, we're live from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 big hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, whatever it is, providing it has no social significance whatsoever. Yes, nothing of import, but other than that, hey, I'm all for it. 888-876-5593 is 888-ROLLYE. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I couldn't find. You know, the problem is you make these requests, and Carol Ford is the world's best show prep, but she is missing in action for a couple days. There are other things to do, and I was on my own. So yesterday I made sure that I wrote everything down. Well, unfortunately, I wrote it down on napkins. Do I have to tell you? I've resurrected a lot of it, but I cannot remember who it was who called to say, how about playing 16 candles? And I really wish I could. I could go back and listen to last night's show, I suppose, and figure that out. But I thank her greatly, because J.T. Carter died on April 5th. Yeah, Gary Stevens' birthday would have been his 85th. Nonetheless, you know, Johnny Maestro got a lot of recognition for being the lead singer with the Crests, and deservedly so, not taking anything away from Johnny. But he was not the founder of the group. J.T. Carter was. And and John's coming in here saying, you know.
I think it was Ruth.
No, it wasn't Ruth. It definitely wasn't.
Oh.
And I think it might have been from Michigan, if not Wisconsin, but one of the two. No, it was not. I don't think Ruth would have known who J.T. Carter was. But nonetheless, sadly, not enough people know, so we're going to talk a little about him. He was the bass vocalist for the Crests, and he found the group. And it was very interesting, because they were somewhat unique of the time. There were 3 African-Americans, 1 Italian-American, and a Puerto Rican. And so it was absolutely a mixed group in every way, shape, and form. And it was Al Brown who discovered them. And Al Brown was an interesting fellow. Of course, you know a lot of his records, and orchestra leader and all that kind of stuff. And it was his wife who heard the group singing in the subway. How perfect for doo-wop, isn't it? And she told her husband, Al, hey, check this out. And he did, and he connected them with Joyce Records, where they recorded their first 2 songs. And we'll actually play a little bit of both of those, because they don't get much airplay. But it was interesting, because it was really J.T. Carter who really not only founded, but really formed this group every way, shape, and form. And the first place they ever played was at the Wavecrest Resort in Montauk. It was their first professional gig. Needless to say, the audience was not necessarily ready for these 3 black guys, a Puerto Rican and an Italian, but it was within minutes that they were on board as far as that goes. And then the contract with Joyce Records came about, which was 2 singles and neither of them hit. But the interesting part of this is that one of the Black members was Patricia Vandross, yes, sister of a future romantic soul singer, Luther. Yeah, Luther Vandross, yep. So Patricia was in that group. Sadly, JT was the last living, because last year Chico Torres died, and that was, I think, July 18th, actually, but Tommy Goh died in 2014, and of course, Johnny Maestro very early in 2010, and now J.T. Carter. The reason I mentioned that gig at the Wavecrest before anything else is the group was looking for names. I don't know what they were calling themselves when they got the gig at the Wavecrest, through the father of one of the band members, as far as that goes, done that figure. They didn't know what to call themselves. They were thinking of everything, the doorknobs, the windows. And so JT, after appearing at the Wavecrest, said, "We're the Crests." And they were. And that's how that happened. And as far as the first one, and you heard it a lot in later doo-wop concerts and all that, but when it was out, it was decidedly a flop. But the first two records they ever recorded were My Juanita and Sweetest One. And when you hear the opening of My Juanita, if you've ever been to a doo-wop concert, or if you ever saw any of the T.J. Lubinsky stuff, it'll be familiar.
My Juanita.
Juanita.
I love you,
love you,
love you,
love you,
love you.
As I say, just a duo classic now, but interestingly, the flip side, Sweetest One, actually charted. Not well, mind you, but charted. Somewhat auspicious start in that it did chart, but not remembered by many, certainly not a hit. What happened in 58 was twofold. One is Patricia Vandross left the group. She figured, I'm going to finish my education here and get on with life, and that's what she did. And the group went to co-ed. And their first single did absolutely nothing. But their second single was 16 Candles, that turned out to be their biggest hit. And we will play that along with a number of their other big co-ed hits like Step by Step and The Angels Listened In and Trouble in Paradise. And it was just a terrific period for them in the late 50s, early 60s. After that, well, not so much to say the least. And I think that along the way, Johnny Maestro left, and then James Ancrum took over the lead with Guilty. We've played that before, but it bubbled under, didn't do anything. And most of the other stuff flopped after that. Now, in 65, J.T. Carter signed with Decca. And it was good news and bad news. Good news, he had a record contract. Bad news, he had it with Decca. And I say that because Decca was going to go through their own problems, and that would cause JT not to sign to another label. He couldn't. He was contractually obligated. But in 68, Johnny Maestro, he had joined the Del Satins for a while. And then I've mentioned before that as their lead singer, they merged with the Rhythm Method. And in 1968, Johnny Maestro had a song that he thought was a hit, and he played it for some old-time, you know, fellow record producers and things like that. And I said, Johnny Maestro, you got about as much chance of having a hit as selling the Brooklyn Bridge in 1968. Well, that's what they became, the Brooklyn Bridge, and worst that could happen, went to number 3. Now, by this time, Chico Torres had left. He decided he was done with the music business. He was a jeweler for a while, and then on to other things. And so meanwhile, J.T. Carter was dedicated to singing, and he went with Charlie Thomas Drifters for a while. And then he wound up going to Jersey City, I think, or Plainfield in there, and actually teaching voice and things like that. And he met his wife Leona, who he's married to for 50 years. In fact, I think it was she who announced his passing this past week. And he met Leona, who was a classical pianist and composer. And in 1980, he decided to reform the Crests. And initially, this is not necessarily the best time to do this, because while, yes, there's some call for old doo-wop singers on stage, but it started to grow. And as far as that goes. And so they spent the 80s doing that kind of stuff. And then 1990, Johnny Maestro said to him, you know, hey, I'm still out there with the Brooklyn Bridge. Come join me. We'll do some stuff. And they did a lot of the cruises and stuff like that. Co-ed as a label was acquired in 2010. And that caused all of the Crest records to be re-released, stuff they had never released the first time. So there was that. And meanwhile, JT continued to appear. He appeared on the Bruce Morrow show at the Palisades Park, and he was on various radio shows. And of course, like I mentioned, he was with T.J. Lubinsky doing a lot of those PBS shows. And it was good times for him all the way around. And I think it was 2017 where he was at the Paramount in Asbury Park. We were talking about Asbury Park last night with the passing of Lenny Welch, sadly. You know, he did some of that stuff 2018, what was really weird is I had read this release in 2018 that said he was no longer working with Peter Lemongello, and I thought, he was working with Peter Lemongello? So I don't know what that was about. But bottom line is, I don't know when they got together, but kind of glad they didn't. He was, you know, on so many of these group shows, and they were just terrific. In fact, I mentioned in 2018, he was appearing several places, and at the Brooklyn Paramount Reunion Jubilee of Stars, he was got an award as the last surviving original founding member of the Crests. Of course, that's interesting, because at that time, Chico was still alive, but, you know, hey, the heck with facts. But nonetheless, no doubt about it that there would have been no Crests, not any way, shape, or form without J.T. Carter, and he never gets the recognition he deserves. And like I say, he's the last. Patricia Vandross died of complications from diabetes in 93, only 50 years old. Johnny Maestro was 70 when he died in 2010 in Cape Coral, Florida, on the west coast of Florida. Tommy Goh died of throat cancer in 2014 at home in Flint. Chico Torres, who, after being a jeweler, was a handyman living in New York City, died in Brooklyn 2024. And now, sadly, JT, who, by the way, spent about 40 years in the Poconos before they moved to California, and now, sadly, died on April 5th in California. So rest in peace to JT Carter, and you're going to hear a lot of Crest tonight. But Mary called. I'm so glad she did. It was Mary in Michigan who requested we do something with the Crest. So thank you for that, Mary.
You are welcome, Raleigh, and I appreciate you giving the time, donating the time to this. That is great. A lot of interesting facts. Love the Crests and love Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I not to take anything away from Johnny, but JT really was the founding member, and he never got enough credit for that.
Now, I was thinking, I don't know if Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would ever consider the Crests as early influencers, in other words, inducting them as early
influencers.
They should.
They absolutely should, for a lot of reasons, but it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so, you know.
Well, yes.
You know, sadly, I'm still waiting for Neil Sedaka. You know, there's a lot of things that they just are predisposed against, but you're 100% right. Like I say, having three African-Americans, a Puerto Rican, and an Italian-American, that is probably the most diverse group. I mean, I know there were other interracial groups like the Dell Vikings and stuff like that, but this was truly interracial.
Yes, and at a time when it brought some difficulty for them, especially playing in the South, as I understand.
Oh, of course. Yes, those package tours were no cakewalk, and I think that's why a couple of the guys left. They said, screw this, I'm going home.
And it's hard to believe that could have happened, but sadly it did. But Rest in peace, JT. He's special, no doubt.
Absolutely. And I was so glad he was still married to Leona at the end, and she was right there by his side.
Oh, that's very touching. Oh, that's great. What a legacy. It's all I can say.
You betcha. So we'll certainly play the heck out of that co-ed stuff. And thanks again for thinking of it, Mary.
Hey, and you know, I really appreciate it, Raleigh, and got to keep the memories alive, right?
Absolutely. So you call me anytime with suggestions. I love it.
Okay, thanks,
Raleigh. Thanks. All right, and a big apologies for not remembering it was Mary. I looked all over for that piece of paper. Yeah, oh well. But now we know it was Mary. So Mary is queen for a day as far as I'm concerned on this show, and you will hear her first request was 16 Candles, their biggest hits. You'll hear it next coming up on WGN Radio.
Happy birthday!
James. So that was the first hit on Coed for the Crest, 1958, and their biggest record ever, although they had some other gems as well. And like I say, that was on Coed. Coed was interesting. Jerry Moss was a record promotion guy for them. And, you know, Jerry Moss is an A&M. Moss, right, that one. And the label was George Paxton and Marvin Kane, and they were, I think they were in New York City, actually, 1619 Broadway. Hey, who wasn't? So that was the deal for that. But we'll move over to whatever. We'll move over to a break right now on WGN Radio.
Step, step. Fell in love with you, and step by step, it wasn't hard to do. Kiss by kiss and hand in hand, that's the way it all began. Soon we found the perfect plan for love. Side by side, we took a lover's walk, and word by word, we had a lover's talk. One word led to another, and then in no time we were up to. My heart knew it was gonna end in love.
First step,
a sweet hello.
Second step,
my heart's aglow.
Third step,
we had a date.
Fourth step,
stayed out late.
Fifth step,
I walked you home.
Sixth step,
we're all alone.
Bum.
Seventh step, we
Bum.
Took a chance.
Bum.
One kiss and true romance. Step
Bum.
By step, climb to heaven's door, and step by step, each thrill invited more than you promised faithfully. All your love belonged to me. Now I know we'll always be in love. A sweet hello.
Second step.
My heart's aglow.
Third step.
We had a date.
Fourth step.
Stayed out late.
Fifth step.
I walked you home.
Sixth step.
We're all step, we took a chance. One kiss and true romance. Step by step,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, Johnny Maestro and the Crests, although it should have been J.T. Carter and the Crest. He was the bass singer, but he was also the guy who put them all together. Yeah, there would have been no Crest without J.T. Carter, who died last week, April 5th, actually. Rest in peace, J.T. All right, so we thank Mary for suggesting the Crest. And like I said, it was my favorite, 1960. And we also have Trouble in Paradise and the Angels Listened In. Yeah, and could probably go all night with that, but we'll play some of your other requests as well. So 888-876-5593. Billy Bob and Bourbon A, what's up? I know, 29th call.
Bada bing, bada boom. Hey, when we was in sixth grade back in the mid-60s, there used to be shows like Hootenanny, Where the Action Is, American Bandstand, and then they had one guy called Lloyd Thaxton here in Chicago. Who the heck was he?
Local Los Angeles originally.
That's where he was at.
Yeah, Lloyd Thaxton was the absolute real deal as far as that go. And the show started on KCOP, which was an independent station, Channel 13, in 1961. And it was just huge. Now, prior to that, he'd done like talk shows on Channel 9, KHJ TV and all that. But, you know, what kid cared about that, right? And, did a lot of commercials and all that. But, he was working at KCOP. He was kind of a booth announcer and all of that. And then they gave him Lloyd Thaxton's record shop in 1959. But that was not top 40. That was like Fred Astaire or Jerry Lewis or people like that. But in 61, they started the Lloyd Thaxton Show. And in fact, his theme, it was Herb Alpert who gave him the theme. It was one of Herb's old 45s, but that wasn't a hit. And that was on all the time. But,
it must have got syndicated to the Chicago area. Oh, now I get why we got it.
Yeah, it briefly did, yes. And, I don't know how many markets, probably a lot of them. But, I know it was on in Portland at KPTV, and there were other things. And so I think it went into syndication in 64.
Yeah, and when I watched it, I said, who the heck is this guy?
He was, and they used to do that on the show, too, as you know, Lloyd the Thaxton.
I'm only 13 then. Yeah, I didn't know much.
Right, yeah. No, they...
I was just a baby.
They always kind of made fun of that. And by 64, when they were syndicated, they had a lot of acts that were on that television. They'd lip sync, you know, whether it was Sonny and Cher or the Kinks or the Bobby Fuller.
Yeah, there were some big hits on there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, there were big hits on that. And in fact, when Tiger Beat magazine came out, he was the first face on the cover. In fact, it was called Lloyd Thaxton's Tiger Beat originally. And so that magazine that was around for several years was actually...
I just can't picture his face in my head anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, sadly, he's no longer with us. I talked to him, a few months before he died, unfortunately. But anyway, he became a game show host for game shows you've never seen, trust me. And then in the early 70s, he was on KABC as a talk show host, but, you know, who wasn't? And all of that kind of stuff. And then he was doing a lot of motivational speaking as far as that goes. But
when he passed away?
Well, he died in 2008. So
thank you. That's good enough.
I think he was born about 27 or there, because he was a little older than, you know, a lot of the people I knew at the time. But I'd say, he had multiple myeloma is what he died from, but it was 2008. And it was quick, because I remember, I think he was diagnosed in May and he was gone by October. It was really quick.
Oh, is that a kind of cancer or something?
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Oh, okay.
He was still active up to the time of his death. He was, talking about finding a way maybe to syndicate some of those old shows and things like that. And he had LT Productions was his company. But, he was the real deal. But I'll tell you what, in the early 60s in Los Angeles, Lloyd Thaxton was the man.
Yeah, one quick request here. If I get brain freeze anymore, is it Jack Haley or Bill Haley in the comments?
Bill Haley.
Okay, I want a Ling Ting Tong if you can play it for
Ling
me.
Ling Ting Tong is not by Bill Haley in the comments, but I'll be happy to play it.
All right. Oh, I thought they did a version of it.
Well, if they did, I'm not sure I want to hear it.
Okay.
How about if we, for a chance, play a hit? That was the Five Keys in 1954.
Yeah. Do whatever trips your trigger.
Yeah, it was the Five Keys, 1954, Ling Ting Tong. I don't know. Back in 54, that was about the time Bill Haley was changing from Bill Haley and the Saddlemen to Bill Haley and the Comets, because he used to be country. So
I don't know where I got Jack at. Okay, have a good evening. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so I'm writing this down. So Billy Bob wants Ling Ting Tong. Okay. Now, of course, the key is going to be keeping this small piece of paper. All right, but at least we've written it down. 888-876-5593. We're going to talk to Tubby. Oh, good. It's been about a week. We'll find out what's on Tubby's mind. And we've got Robert in Stickney and Jim in Richmond. And there's a room for you, too, if you'd like it. 888-876-5593
on WGN Radio. The angels listened in, but when they heard me pray, the angels listened in, but when they heard
I'm Raleigh James. I think next to Step by Step, that would come in number two for me on the Crests on Coed, 1959. The Angels listened in. All right. So, yes, we're doing all this because J.T. Carter, the original founding member of the Crests, sadly left us 83 years old on the 5th of April in Los Angeles, where he had moved in Southern California from the Poconos, where he had been residing for over 40 years. So, all right. Yeah, now they're all gone. Very sad. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Robert is in Stickney. What's up, Robert?
Raleigh, I woke up just in time for your show. I looked at my clock. It was 10:06 this evening. But anyway, you always say that sleep is great.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. The couple of callers before me, they were talking about Lloyd Paxton and all. And I believe he was from the Chicagoland area. There was a gentleman by the name of Jim Lounsbury.
Oh, well, of course. Of course, Jim Lounsbury was absolutely the man. We're talking about a number. He had about three shows. Remember, he had Sock Hop and then Bandstand Matinee and then the Record Hop. He was on Channel 9. He was on Channel 9, and he was also on BKB. Yeah, he was the absolute real deal. He did a lot of Record Hops around the Chicagoland area, too, as well as that goes.
Uh-huh.
But when it came to TV shows, he had at least those three that were Sock Hops and probably more. He eventually moved to Tucson, and sadly, I think he left us in 2006. But before he died, he was just a real Arizona denizen, and he had a light plane, and he used to fly everywhere. Had a great time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was just wondering. I figured he probably wasn't with us anymore. Because
no,
that was like in the late 50s, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be 20 years next year, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, boy, that time.
Yeah, but he had it going on. I mean, he absolutely was huge. And, you know, even in the early days, because he was not young. He was born in the early 20s. And, you know, so he really in many ways was before rock and roll and around when all of those acts were starting. And in fact, when Bandstand went national in the late 50s and Dick Clark had it, whenever he'd need a sub host, Jim Lounsbury would do that. and so he got some national exposure from that. But he was just everywhere. And then later, after all that, he wound up doing news for UPI nationally. He was a national news anchor for UPI Radio Network, and he was living in Skokie. And then they moved. I think he had a Cessna 182. I think is what it was. You know, small plane, but he'd fly it everywhere. And died. And I think it was, you know, right around New Year's of 2008. It was early in 2006. I'm sorry, early in 2006. So we're coming up on 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Boy. Yeah. And another. Of course, there was the young guy that. Helped produce all of the PBS oldies specials.
T.J. Levinsky. Yeah, his grandfather used to own Savoy Records in New Jersey, and that's how he got into the game.
Right. I remember there was an interview he did with Burt Bacharach, one of Bacharach's last interviews, I believe, and he mentioned to him. Bacharach, that is, I thought it was his father, but that was his grandfather.
Yeah, it was his grandfather.
A couple of radio stations or something. Yeah.
The big thing, I say, was Savoy Records, because that was huge. That brought us a lot of. It was Herman Levinsky owned Savoy, and that would have been his grandfather.
Believe me, he
He signed acts that no one else was ever going to air. And so, Herman Levinsky and anybody been around a long time would certainly remember that. And his father's brother, I guess that'd be his uncle technically, but Buzzy Levinsky, he was a jock, not on the radio, but at all sorts of clubs in New Jersey. So TJ came by it, and when he was a kid, he got a job at a cable station in Monmouth County in southern Jersey. And but it's interesting, he got a job at in Miami at the PBS station there, Channel 2, I think it's PBT, but anyway, he was pushing that idea for doo-wop, and everybody turned him down, but Pittsburgh didn't, and he was promoted, and he went to Pittsburgh, and that's where he started it. Yeah, you know, and I remember in Philadelphia, they pretty much laughed him out of the building, and, you know, this turned out to be, I think, the second largest PBS fundraiser behind the three tenors. And he did about 75 of these shows. So, and then he was doing other things that weren't music, but and then for a while he was doing the Sunday Night Oldie Show on WJRZ, which was all right for a while. But his father wasn't well, Herman Levinsky Jr. actually, and so I think he stopped doing that. And then he was on a couple of the other oldie stations. I don't know what happened to him since then. It's been a real long time. I remember we went out to dinner with him and Jerry Blavitt and had a great time one night, but that's now been decades. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, so the Levinsky family was in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, believe me, if you look up Savoy Records, you'll see what I mean. And if you want to have a heritage, what a great heritage to have. Because when Herman Levinsky founded it, this was the early 40s. And, these were like Charlie Parker, Errol Garner, Miles Davis, all these people got record contracts because of him. And they continued in jazz, but they did a lot of R&B, a lot of R&B you just wouldn't hear anywhere else. And so, but I'll tell you what, there was also, like many labels, sadly, Herman was no different than Art Rupe or any of these others, I hate to say it, but white independent businessmen who were taking advantage of the African-American artists. So I know a lot of people. A lot of people were. But Buck Ram worked for him. Ralph Bass worked for him. You don't get bigger than those two names right there and others. So, regardless of how well he paid royalties or didn't, and he wouldn't have been alone either way, a lot of people broke because they were on that label.
Wow. Okay, if you don't mind, I got a couple of requests for next week. If you could squeeze them in,
what you got?
Yeah, I did get into jazz a little bit from my dad, and there was a lot of people think that the accordion wasn't a particular jazz instrument, but there was a fellow named Art Van Dam.
And
if you have anything by him,
okay.
You, to give it a spin. And then another singer, black fellow, my dad, like, what a voice he had. His name was Joe Williams, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so anything by him.
Okay.
Yeah, I put Joe Williams up, probably up with almost people like Nat King Cole and all, too. I don't know, but he was from before my time. But those two, if you could get to something by him.
Yeah, no, yeah. Joe was really considered a jazz singer, but he sang with big bands originally, and with Count Basie and all of that. And I'll see if I can't find. But you know, he used to win things like Best Male Band Singer. You know, not so much as a solo act, but he was really the last of the great big band singers. He was a baritone.
Oh, okay.
And
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where his. Once again, I blew the break. So Bob is engineering tonight. He doesn't give me any. Slack whatsoever. So we're out of time. I will get to both of them. I promise.
Okay, Raleigh.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. All right. So I don't think I've heard Art Van Damme's name in a long time. We're off the air now, by the way. I mean, we're on the stream, and I'm talking to you, but we're not on WGN at the moment. But yeah, Art Van Damme. All right. I hadn't thought about that name in a long time. He was Norwegian. No, he wasn't. He seemed like he was, and maybe he had a Norwegian background. But yeah, the accordion was his big thing. I don't know, but he died in California. He was always about 90, and that's been about now, I don't know, 15 years maybe. And so that was the deal with him. But yeah, he was a sensation on that accordion. So, all right. And so we're going to talk to Tubby. Looking forward to that. We're going to talk to Fran. I want to find out about those toes. All right. And we have, let's see, let me clear some lines in case you want to join in the action. So we'll say goodbye to that. And all right, so we got Tubby, we got Jim in Richmond, we got Fran in Austin, and we'll have you after the news on WGN Radio. What am I saying that for? I'm not on WGN Radio now. The news is on, but we'll be back in moments here on whatever.
Call all angels, call all angels. She's the only one. Guide her with your lovely light back into my arms tonight. There's trouble in paradise, and heaven's not the same. The angels sit and cry. They say it's such a shame. They'd like our love to be just like before. Then the trouble in paradise will be no more.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was the last of the hits for the Crests on Coed 1959. No, actually, 1960 came out after Step by Step on Coed, and but certainly not the last of the Crests in one form or another around really until recently with founder J.T. Carter at the helm of various incarnations, but now no more. Now all of the original Crests are no longer with us. Rest in peace, J.T. Carter. It was April 5th that he passed away. Yeah, sad. But I'm glad Mary let us know. All right, because I'll take any excuse I can get to play some Crest records. Tubby is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm hanging in there, honey.
All right.
Everything went well. We went to my brother-in-law and started acting the fool until he made his first mistake. We made the trip.
Good.
And my nieces did my sister very proud.
Good.
Doing a service. And then, you know, Saturday, my baptismal, my service finally, because all her children were out of the country when she died.
Mm.
So they got themselves together. So she already had a plot out there at the, you know, at the cemetery paid for next to her husband.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to being together at our church on Saturday.
Good.
They told me a long time ago. They said, make sure you eat.
Right.
They said, make sure you get a lot of rest. And remember the good times.
Exactly and, right.
Anybody feel like praying, pray for the grandbaby. Her grandsons really took it hard, very hard. It was like, this woman can't be out, gone. She just cannot be not here, okay?
Yeah.
So anyway, I have to deal with it, and I'm learning to deal with it. And I had just talked about that with friends about just like it just it's something I just I thought about it, but I couldn't let myself get deep into thought.
Right.
Okay, before I forget this name, I thank you for your consideration. Duke Payne, you ever heard of Duke Payne?
Say again.
Duke Payne, P A Y N E.
Yeah.
Duke Payne played the. Duke Payne played the bagpipes.
Yeah.
He played jazz on the bagpipes. And when you go to look him up, you really can't find nothing. And, you know, that happens. But that was just like, he was part of that little group. You know, we used to do the back room.
Yeah.
We'd go to the new apartment lounge. You know, during that time when I was doing the restaurant, and I'd hang out at the back room after. You know, after I get off work, Duke Payne, man, it was just like, I could find him. And if anybody knows, somebody might know, and they might know more about him because he was something special.
Well, I think I might have a 45 by him, because when you said that name, I think there was something called M&M Records, and there was a couple of things, Duke Payne, I think one side was called The Bottom, and the other was called Reaction, but he wrote The Bottom. But M&M was this strange little jazz label from Chicago that Madman Jones had. So so I may still have that 45.
Okay, well, I think people will really be impressed with his presentation, his gift. I never had heard, and since I've never heard anybody do bagpipes, okay?
Yeah, exactly, yes. You don't normally think about bagpipes as being instrumental in any jazz record or any popular record at all, really, so yeah.
Right. But he did it, and he did it very well. Okay, also, I'd like to make a request. I had other requests, but this is a more important request. Maze, I Can't Get Over You. If you like it, if you like that tune.
Right. Frankie Beverly and?
Okay. Maze, yes. You know, that was a closer sound I got to that Philadelphia sound where it got that nice rocking motion to it.
Yeah.
I like that nice rocking, you know what I'm saying, easy going. That's why I was always like, what you call it, the Philadelphia sound. And that's it for the request. It's just an interesting time. I finally decided to do I got to do at least two books.
Yeah.
One is Lest You Forget, because that deals with, I've been talking to some of these young bus drivers. They don't know nothing about Cottage Grove. They don't know nothing about jitney cabs.
Really?
Going up and down.
Oh, man. That's sad. That's sad.
I know the Real Theater. Not even the Real Theater. And I mean, I've seen Miles Mabley. Red Fox. I mean, these were just like regular, you know, folks they would put on the bill. And then, of course, for the big headliners would be the Temptations or the Miracles or, you know, folks like that. But that was just like, if we didn't have that, they also don't know, and a lot of people don't know, because, you know, Disney was my buddy. But at that time, we were too busy playing Coon Cane, and we played Cars together. And a lot of people don't know how to play Coon Cane. They play spades. They don't play Big Whist. We used to beat the girls at Mundelein because I knew how to play Big Whist. And so, you know, you're supposed to, when you play bridge, you're supposed to count to, we wasn't counting nothing. But when we played Big Whist, I said, I better seven no trumps so nobody else can get the bid.
Yeah.
They'd be mad at me if I got first bid. seven notes.
Yeah.
People who play cards, they know about these things. But look, I want to continue to encourage everybody. Welcome our new guests, Jim, James, and Johnny D, and another James. He got two James, right?
Right.
And I want everybody to know, and be of good courage. I see that the people perk up. Yes, we are behind you guys. Everybody, friend and everybody, what's it called? Because that man on that radio show to come on after you,
yeah,
he was so rude to what's the name the other night. She called and she be calling his show too. That man, when he get finished talking to you on the other side of midnight, I hate to call him out like that, but I wasn't gonna say it. When he get ready to finish talking, he don't know what you got to say. It's like he barely say bye. He's gone.
Oh man!
The one running for office up there.
Oh right, yeah, right, sure. Right. Yes, yes,
and
exactly. Love,
and they crazy about, you know. I'm like live and let live, but he has tripped straight up. But anyway, I let him go on about his business. But that isn't fair. Don't give out a bunch. Don't be keeping giving out your phone number. And then when people got something to say and you don't feel like hearing what they got to say, he gets. I'm serious. He barely says thanks for calling. He's gone. Okay. Now I'm through with that. But look, I just want everybody to just calm down. Get the best out of every day that they got. You know, if you let a board meeting take place in your head every day, you're in trouble.
Oh, I love that. That's great. That's great. Yeah, you should write a book about the Regal Theater, because I can't believe there are people who didn't know about that on 47th Street. Everybody from Sam Cooke to Al Green, or the Dells, the Eldorados, all these people, the first place they played was the Regal.
Remember that song? Wine time.
Oh, of course, Alvin Cash and the Crawlers. And originally, the reason it was Alvin Cash and the Crawlers, originally he was a dancer.
Yeah, that's what, and you should have seen their performance.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah, it was. You had to see it in person. That's absolutely right.
Before they came out with all the rap and the hip hop,
yeah,
when he got out there on that stage, you knew you were seeing something.
Yeah, Alvin and Cash and the Crawlers. Yeah, I loved them.
Alvin Cash. Remember that song? Who did that song? I couldn't sleep at all last night.
Yeah, Tossin' and Turnin' is that record. Yeah, and the guy from Indianapolis. Why can't I think about it? Bobby Lewis. He had a follow-up that I always loved, One Track Mind. And Tossin' and Turnin' was actually written by Richie Adams, who was the lead singer for the Fireflies, the group that did You Were Mine.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, that was Bobby Lewis who did it. It was on Beltone. What a great little label Beltone was.
Yeah. Anytime you feel like playing some of that, you ain't got nothing to play. You can play some of that.
Oh, absolutely.
I grew up on that song. I was talking and
yeah.
Couldn't sleep at all last night.
That's right. That's absolutely that was a huge hit. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. I will definitely add that to your request list, and we will play it.
Okay, so real quick, the one book, lest we forget, is history. You know, and they still don't know who Sojourner Truth and all them people were. They don't have all that locked in their head at all. Mm. But as far as just regular folk, regular life, and the roots, you know, it's just like, I mean, you know, they claim Queens. People from other countries have came and claimed Liberty Avenue in New York City. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Chicago, I got to step up so people really know their history.
Absolutely.
Charlie, thank you so much for being you, and thank you, your husband, and the other guy that works on the show. God bless y'all all.
We will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye. Yeah, always good to hear from Tubby. And one night we will get to Dade County memories. Yeah, back when it was still Dade County as opposed to Miami-Dade. Yeah, how dare they? Anyway, all that and more. We'll get to Fran's toes. I want to hear about those toes next. Nick in Baltimore. Jim is in Richmond. He's got a request. Wesley is in Chicago. All right. It's been a while, Wesley. All right. So all that and more is coming up right here on WGN Radio.
Listen to the people. Can't you hear them cheer? My biggest fight is almost here. Loneliness is the one I have to be.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Jimmy Soul Clark. I'll be your champion, I'll be your winner. That was on Soul Hawk, which was Popcorn Wiley's label. He co-wrote that song and produced it, actually. That was one that Evelyn in Michigan wanted to hear, and I'm more than happy to play it, that's for sure. Jimmy Soul Clark, probably better known in Northern Soul circles than in Detroit, where he hails, but he should be better known. Yeah, that's J-I-M-M-E-Y, Soul Clark, in case you're looking for it. But yeah, and I'll be your champion, I'll be your winner. Probably his best-known song, but far from his only. He did a couple things on Soul Hawk. He also was on Ollie McLaughlin's labels. He was on Moira and Karen, and then I think he even had something on Cotillion. And I thought he was just one of the real great unknowns. But there you have it. So we thank Evelyn for reminding me of that record. And it's funny, because if you look at the record, it says right on it, Jimmy, J-I-M-M-E-Y, Soul Clark. But if you look it up online, very often they drop the E. So if you're looking for the song, well, good luck. So, yeah, you'll find it one way or another, I guess. Maybe just look for everything that was on Soul Hawk, because it's a fairly rarefied atmosphere, shall we say. Fairly limited. All right, so now let's find out what Jim in Richmond wants to hear, because he's been waiting for requests. So, hello, Jim, what is it you want to hear?
I wanted to talk about a few things. Number one, I was listening to you and Bob, and you talked about Rory and his bad golf day, but you need to go and find it on video that his daughter, 4 years old, made a 25-foot putt today.
All right.
And because today, or before they started the Masters, they had the children playing with the pros, and they were letting them take the shots.
All right.
And it was amazing. It was on the national news that she made this 25-foot putt.
All right.
And secondly, I wanted to tell you that she left to go to her campground 2.5 hours north of here, and she said she's not going to take any phone calls. And you would think she would tell me that she made it up there, driving up there.
Well,
and she didn't.
Yeah, she's just in a state. Let it pass. She'll be back.
Right. And then thirdly, my request is what you talked about early. Can you play the Brooklyn Bridge, Worst That Could Happen?
Sure, I'll get it on next week, obviously. I will be happy to.
Next week?
Yeah, because this is Friday. This is Thursday, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, so we're kind of spoken for. We've only got an hour and a half left. But if I can bump somebody, then I will. But, yeah. Oh, well, there goes the break. All right, we're off the air now, but I will do my best to get it as soon as possible.
Thank you very much.
Okay, sure.
You've done so much for me, and I just want to say thank you.
Sure. Talk to you soon. All right, Jim. Thanks.
Okay. Under cloudy skies at 11:30. Good evening. I'm David.
All right, so that clearly is the news. And if you're listening to GN, you're hearing that. And if you're listening to me, well, you're hearing mostly nothing. But you will hear from Fran. I want to know about those toes. Wesley in Chicago's got some requests. Nick in Baltimore, always fun. And Eduardo in Tampa. So, and we've got another hour and a half of this. So good deal. Coming up on WGN Radio. Well, it's not WGN. Well, it is. Never mind.
Yeah.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, this weeks ago, they got an email from Barry in New Hampshire, you know, our Beatles expert, who said, he heard me play Fannie Mae, Buster Brown, and said, you know, that kind of sounds like the under assistant West Coast promotion man. Yeah, which is, by the way, flip of I Can't Get No Satisfaction, 1965 by the Rolling Stones. Clearly, whoever wrote it had never been to Los Angeles because no promo man in 1965 was at a bus stop in downtown L.A. All right, but I digress. All right, so that's for Barry. Hope you're listening, Barry. Now, what have we? Oh, Wesley. Wesley has requests. Let's hear what they are. First, let's figure out how to free up a line for you if you want it. 888-876-5593. Wesley in Chicago, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Raleigh?
All right. What's going on?
Good. I was just thinking, I heard a commercial on television a few times, and I'm just wondering, is there a Hall of Fame for musicians?
Well, there's a lot of different Hall of Fames, actually, and most of them don't last very long, but of course the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame we know about.
Yeah.
But yeah, from time to time, we're always always hearing about this or that Hall of Fame. What are we talking about here?
The commercial was, it had in the background a man who was promoting a product. Anyway, they had on the screen, he was a drummer, and they say he was a Hall of Fame drummer. And I had never heard of a Hall of Fame musician.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will occasionally have, like, Hal Blaine, who was a drummer, who kind of coined the phrase the Wrecking Crew. They weren't actually called that in the 60s, but after a while they were. But so I'm sure they have people like that. Or, obviously, the Motown musicians, who were the unsung heroes of that label, their licks really made some of those records. So I'm sure that they're covered in that. But I wonder who it was who was in the commercial.
I never heard of him at all. But he was a drummer, and it made me think of Grady Tate.
Oh yeah.
And Grady Tate was a hell of a drummer, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, of course.
But I had never heard of a musician's Hall of Fame.
No, I would assume it's somebody, and maybe somebody listening will know, but I'm guessing it's part of a side exhibit of something like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay, a side, okay. So, I was also thinking about Junior Walker.
Oh, yeah.
The All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hell of a saxophone player.
Absolutely.
And there's a few more, but I was just wondering if there was a Pacific Hall of Fame directed towards musicians.
I'm going to try to find one. But, you know, sadly, most of these don't last. Let's see. Well, they have a Museum's Hall of Fame, Musician's Hall of Fame and Museum in Nashville. So that's all part of that Hall of Fame. So, and occasionally they will have side exhibits. They had one, about 20 years ago now, that was all about Nashville R&B and stuff like that. It was really kind of neat. But let's see, Musicians Hall of Fame. Let's see who's in it. All right, inductees, that's what we want. We want inductees. First induction ceremony, all right, let's see. Well, the Funk Brothers were in the first induction ceremony, so that's impressive. The Funk Brothers, you know, the backup band for James Jamerson and Dennis Coffey and Earl Jones, Joe Messina, Bongo Brown, and others, Earl Van Dyke, you know, Benny Benjamin. Okay. Jimmy Griffin. Yeah. So they got in there. The Nashville A-Team. All right, that's pretty good, but that wouldn't. Pig Robbins and people like that. Grady Martin, Charlie McCoy. Yeah. Maybe. They call it the Wrecking Crew, and they put them in there. All right. I think they were great musicians, but the Wrecking Crew name came later. Hal Blaine and Larry Nechtel and Joe Osborne. And I think they, but... you know,
you see
Walker
on there?
Yeah, on the Wrecking Crew you wouldn't, but Glenn Campbell and Tommy Tedesco and Billy Strange and Leon Russell and Don Rondi and Carol Kaye, of course, Joe Osborne, Hal Blaine, Earl Palmer, Julius Wexler, all right, or James Burton, I'm looking, Al DeLore, Plaz Johnson, of course, Don Peake. All right, so the Memphis Boys. So that was the first one. Then the second induction ceremony was Al Cooper and Billy Sherrill. Billy absolutely deserved it. Booker T and the MGs, let's see, Dwayne Eddy, The Memphis Horns. Okay, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Muscle Shoals, the Rhythm and Blues. I'll take the Muscle Shoals guy. The Crickets, well, I don't know. I might fight. We've got Paul Reiser. He was an arranger. That was the third. But he was big. He was absolutely
right.
Big. And so, you know, everything from Papa Was a Rolling Stone to Ain't No Mountain High Enough. So he deserved it. That was Paul Reiser. Fred Foster, well, he owned Monument. So, yeah, he got it. I can see that. Chet Atkins, you betcha. Billy Cox. All right. Let's see.
What about the Barclays?
I'm looking. We got each okay. of these years. They should be. Charlie Daniels mm-hmm. and his man. Victor Feldman. Well, that's a weird one. But okay. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking way back, like Big Band or Toto. All right. Well, fourth induction ceremony, Randy Bachman. All right. Jimmy Capps, Peter Frampton, Buddy Guy. All right, that's good. Bob Keith. Let's see. Will Lee. All right. Barbara Mandrell. Oh, I choke. Corky Casey O'Dell. Let's see. Velma Smith. That's going way back. Stevie Ray Vaughan and Mike Curb. All right. Yeah. Where was it? So who's fifth? Garth Brooks in the fifth induction ceremony. Jerry Reed. All right. Sigma Sound. The entire rhythm section. Sigma Sound. That's pretty good. I'll go for that. And got a lot of
all
people.
Your name and I don't know.
Yeah, well, Sigma Sound. That's that's every all the great session players from Philadelphia. Yeah, you know. So you're talking about, I mean, everybody, whether it's Earl Young or Bobby Ely or you know, Dennis mm-hmm. Harris or Jimmy Williams. You got a lot of them. Tom Bell. Anyway, Ricky mm-hmm. Skaggs, Don Felder. Yeah. All right. Well, if you insist, Alan Reynolds. Let's see who else. Lou Bradley. Yes, absolutely. Mark Miller. Snake Reynolds. Okay. Let's see. Joe Tarsia. You got to do Joe Tarsia. Man, all those great Cameo Parkway Records and all that. That's all Joe Tarsia. All right. Sixth induction ceremony, Felix Cagliari. All right, I understand that. Steve Warner. All right. The Safari.
Are you reading from the internet?
Yeah, of course. I'm reading at the Musicians Hall of Fame. Safaris. Let's see.
Musicians Hall of Fame, okay.
Yeah, and that's Nashville, of course, Alabama. Original Muscle Shoals. Jerry Carrigan, my boy Jerry. David Briggs, Norbert Putman, Terry Thompson. Yeah, that absolutely all deserving.
Okay.
Oh, this is, I don't even know who they are. At first it said the Players, and I said, oh, my God, they couldn't have done the Players. You know, as in he'll be back? No, of course not.
No.
It's, yeah,
yep.
I'd be real excited about that, but no, of course not. And so that was more studio musicians, more Muscle Shoals horns and Owen Bradley. So I don't know. That's a Musicians Hall of Fame, and I guess it's going to be around for a while. It's a tourist attraction, so maybe he's in
yeah.
that.
Okay, I'll look it up if I can find somebody to help me get on the internet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And all you have to do is go to musicianshalloffame.com / inductees, and you'll get there.
Okay. My request, before I forget, by the Miracles, The Only One I Love.
Okay.
I would like to hear that. And maybe even Can You Love a Poor Boy by the Miracles.
Yes, of course.
Smoking the Miracles.
Yeah, I'm writing this down, so hopefully I won't lose the piece of paper. And write down Wesley's name next to it so I know who requested it, and we'll get him on next week.
I appreciate it very much.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
Okay,
so long.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I'm doing it on napkins again, but I promise I'm not throwing these out. All right, so, well, I don't think, or using them for dinner. Fran and Austin, all right, welcome back to WGN Radio. Tell all about the toe.
Well, got good news and bad news.
Uh-oh.
The good news is I got an appointment for tomorrow.
Good.
The bad news is it's with the same doctor that I've been going to.
Oh, God.
What happened was I was trying to decide whether to do it or not. And I got there's been a lot of stuff going on. But I got a text today wanting me to confirm. You know, and I knew I had an appointment coming up with him. I forgot it was this soon. So I don't know. I confirmed it, but I don't know. The only thing is he's pretty. The only referrals I got was Texas Orthopedics, which is where he happens to work.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and then they gave me the only podiatrist name they gave me was his.
Oh, God.
So it's like, well, you know, I guess I will go to him because it's him or nothing at this point.
Well, you know, the only, has anybody taken a look at this that you know personally who can actually see it?
No.
Oh, I wish we knew that.
Well, actually, my one friend did look at it and say, well, yeah, it's, you know, it's red on the tip. And she did see the area, and he's acknowledged the area on the side of my toe that is, there's a big bump, but he doesn't seem to say anything about that. Well, the other thing that is for another purpose, I started taking amoxicillin.
Right.
Here I am now. I kind of want the toe to look bad.
You know, I actually want it to look bad as well. But, you know, I was going to say the first thing they should do is biopsy that nail. But usually they only do that for fungal. And I'm not sure what they'd get on that. But it sounds like if you've got an infection there, that should be cleaned up and treated, period. And
it's actually, the good news is that it actually feels a little better.
Well, that's great.
Since I started taking the amoxicillin.
Okay.
There's this thing that I can feel in my toe that feels like an ingrown toenail, and I'm not a doctor. I could be wrong. And, you know, if he would look at it and then tell me I'm wrong, but he doesn't even really seem to look at it.
Hold on a minute. Don't go away.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But John says, yeah, we got Bob tonight, and Bob cuts me no slack at all. And I know we have one break, and then we have another break, so I don't know how it's going to fall out. So we will get back to Fran here in a moment. We got Nick. Oh, that's always fun. And Boyer and Cindy and Eduardo and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Another $2 room that's never seen a broom. A neon sign reflecting on my ceiling. In all my days, I can't recall ever having such a lonely feeling. But I can't stop now, I've got to find her somehow. Can't stop looking for my... By my double meal, I haven't had a bite all afternoon. So I'll direct my feet down from a lonely street. Till I find myself the cheapest, greasy fool. But I can't stop now, got to find her somehow. Can't stop looking for my... Haven't known a peaceful day since that girl, she walked away. But somehow, I must survive. I've got to keep my hopes alive, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the Fantastic Four. And I'll tell you what, the production behind that is Detroit Record Royalty. Al Kent. Yeah, you've got to pay the price, right? And Ed Wingate, who owned Rick-Tick and others, produced it. And it was on Rick-Tick, 1967, Fantastic Four, Can't Stop Looking for My Baby. And that was another one of Evelyn's choices, and a fine one at that. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Now, Bob, who is taking care of us tonight, who cuts me no slack whatsoever, which is fine, says you're going to be out at 56:30 either way. So I'll try to watch the clock while I talk to Fran for another minute here. And I think, Fran, I would take almost a hardline approach this time when you see this guy tomorrow and say, this is a chronic problem. I'm a diabetic. I feel you're ignoring it. I want a nail biopsy, and I want a biopsy on the skin surrounding it to know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I know. I've been, you know, usually when he tells me, oh, there's no ingrown, I just, okay.
Yeah, I don't care if it's ingrown or not. I want a biopsy on some of the nail and the skin surrounding it. And, you know, if he's resistant, you just say, well, we've got a problem here. Being a diabetic and knowing I have this problem long term, I could potentially lose a limb. I don't want to lose a limb and then sue you then. I want somebody to fix this now.
And yeah.
And I mean, I'd absolutely throw that out there. You know, I feel like I'm being ignored, mistreated, and considering the severity of it, I don't have to tell you as a podiatrist what happens to diabetics with foot problems. You can't tell tell me it's nothing. So hang on, don't go away. And that's where we'll, I think sometimes you kind of just absolutely be the squeaky wheel. All right, so that's where we'll pick it up next hour on WGN Radio.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. The blankets on the floor, turn my pillow upside down. I never did before, because I was tossing and turning and tossing, tossing and turning all night. Jumped out of bed, turned on the light. I pulled down the shade, went to the kitchen for a bite. Rolled up the shade, turned off the light. I jumped back into bed, it was the middle of the night. The clock downstairs was striking four. Couldn't get you off my mind. I heard the milkman at the door. Cause I was tossing and turning, turning and tossing, tossing and turning.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, it is Bobby Lewis, Belltone Records, that's for Tubby, 1961, and yeah, just huge. Couldn't sleep at all last night, and like I say, Richie Adams of the Fireflies wrote it. Yeah, it was a true story. He was upset over a girlfriend. All right, so we got Fran, who's going to the doctor tomorrow with the toe. And yeah, Fran, you're going to have to be insistent. And you're going to have to use words like, you know, this is chronic. You say there's nothing to worry about. I am a diabetic. There is a lot to worry about as far as I'm concerned. I want a biopsy of the nail and the skin around it to find out exactly what's going on. This has been months.
Okay, so if they do this biopsy, what is it? You know, what do they do so that I'll know that they're doing what I...
Well,
what's supposed to happen?
Okay, well, firstly, they should numb it first because you want to get some skin out of this. But normally, if it's just the nail, but I'd like some skin around it myself, but they would just cut a piece of the nail, but you're concerned about the skin around it. So they normally would numb it first and then take a bit of it, then put some type of a dressing on it, antibiotic or what have you, and you know, obviously close it because you don't want that open to the air. And so you come if you got flip flops, come with something that you can wear that
I don't have anything open to.
All right. Well, with that in mind, if you have to, bring slippers.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll do.
You can wear one slipper and one shoe as far as that goes. But I mean, be prepared for that because yes, I mean, if you get the feeling that this guy is somehow malicious or going to hurt you in any way, you got another problem. You're going to bring Gary, obviously. And absolutely, and he should, he will do well at backing you up and just say, you know, if you told me this for the first time or even the second time, or maybe even the third time, I'd say, okay, well, it's going to heal, except it's not. And I'm a diabetic and this is too dangerous.
Well, you know, one thing I can say is, well, at least I have some evidence that it's an infection because it wouldn't be getting better with an antibiotic if it weren't an infection.
Right, and you can say
I want to know is what's causing.
Right, right.
What's causing the infection.
And so you don't want him to say, oh, if it's getting better, just keep taking the amoxicillin. And that's where you say, no, I want to know what this is and what the best antibiotic to treat it with would be. See, they don't know that until they know what it is.
Right. And they might just say, well, come back when you finish your antibiotics.
Well, no. you know, they... They might, and how long are you taking the antibiotics for?
Let's see, since last Saturday.
All right,
Sunday.
Right, but I mean, how long is the treatment? 2 weeks or what?
Oh, yeah, I got about 20-something pills. So,
all right.
it's a couple of weeks.
Another couple of weeks. So then in the event they say that, and it might be hard to fight that if they say that, then you say, all right, I want to make the appointment right now so we can address it then. And don't leave before you make it. And don't leave before you make the appointment. And when you make the appointment, say this: this appointment is for a biopsy of the skin and the nail.
Right. Yeah. I also got to make an appointment about the knee.
Not with him, though.
So, that's no.
Right.
But
exactly.
Since I'm at Texas Orthopedic,
yeah.
I might as well.
No, you're
get it all done.
Oh, you know, you absolutely
spending my life at the doctor's.
Oh, I know. believe me, I know. But we've got to get to the bottom of the foot as quickly as we can.
Oh no, yeah, no. I'm because my Gary's brother lost both of his feet, and he's diabetic.
Yeah,
and he just had a blister. He had a blister on one of his feet.
I hate to say it, but common. This story is all too common. And that's why I can't believe this guy is treating it, you know, so in the way that he is. It would be different if you weren't diabetic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would say the amount of people who have lost a foot due to an ingrown toenail, if they are diabetic, would shock the average person who didn't know about this. So, yeah.
And, you know, he knows I mentioned exactly why I'm concerned.
And, this time.
I even told him about Gary's brother. I mean,
right.
You know.
No, obviously he's just dismissing you, but this time you don't let him dismiss you. And if he tries to dismiss you, if you go through it, say, obviously I'm not getting through to you. Who can I speak with? Who can I make an appointment with who will take this seriously? Because I'm not ignoring this any longer.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's it's just unconscionable that he'd do that. So let me know how it goes. And yeah, if you had to, I mean, the big clum is, look, do I have to file with the medical board? Is that what's going on here? You know, but you'd prefer not to do that. And again, whether you're successful or not, what you're invoking when you do that is a mountain of paperwork.
Right.
So,
because I'm really not interested in suing anybody.
No.
Of course, if I lost my limb, I might.
Oh, absolutely, you would. Are you kidding?
I would, but
at this point,
I'm not interested.
No, and well, we don't want that. We want you to keep your limb forever. So that's not the point.
Yeah.
So, all right.
On another note, I'm really enjoying the Crest tonight. I love them.
Oh, I do too, and so sad.
What a voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's Johnny Maestro, and he had a wonderful voice. But like I say, everybody always talks about Johnny, and rightfully so. But they forget that there would have been no Crest without J.T. Carter. You know. And now they're all gone. Every last one of them.
And so, I can't believe Lenny Welch thought he couldn't sing.
He didn't. Hey, absolutely.
When he
was young, he tried to avoid the guy who was trying to recruit him, thinking, "Well, I can't sing." Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, he's one of the best.
I agree.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let me know tomorrow. Well, actually, you let me know Monday.
Okay.
I want to hear all about it.
Monday.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks. Good
okay.
luck. Okay, bye.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh, man. Yeah. Fighting for your own rights. It's tough. It is. Sometimes that's harder than whatever the treatment is. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh Boyer is in Nashville. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Boyer is no longer in Nashville. Are you still there? Oh, you are with
us.
Yes,
I'm right here. Do you?
Yes, I hear you now. Yes, so what's up?
Well, I want to set you straight on the Musicians Hall of Fame here in Nashville.
What's wrong with it?
You said, those things are around. They don't last.
Wait. I didn't think that about Nashville, and I made that very clear. Most of the Hall of Fame, and whether it's rhythm and blues, rock and roll, doo-wop, and all that, last about a minute. Nashville is a different situation entirely. That will be there forever.
Okay.
It's a tourist attraction. I am well aware of that.
People may have taken you wrong. So
well,
we have the Country Music Hall of Fame.
As
That's
I know.
Different.
I know.
There
I believe me.
Musicians Hall of Fame.
Been to both.
So right now, you can go there and see Ringo Starr's drum
yep.
set. You can see Chicago's. You can see Tom Petty's guitar. You can see B.B. King's guitar.
Yep.
You can see the Edison room where they have, like, old Edison players. You can see this is an incredibly cool museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 30,000 square feet. It was started privately by a guy named, I think, Joe Chambers. He died about a year ago, and they they showed him on the Grammys a year or two ago in the, you know, in the obituary thing.
Mm-hmm.
So come to Nashville, check out the Musicians Hall of Fame. You know, Ringo just recorded here.
Yeah, no, I'm like I say, album. Well aware of it, been there, done that. Joe and Linda opened it in 2006, know all about it, 6th Avenue South. All right, okay. So, yes, so very well.
So here's another thing. I caught the tail end of that woman in her, something with her foot.
Yeah.
It was like 5 minutes. I caught pre-news, post-news.
Okay.
So I don't, it sounds like she has an infection. Here's what she should do. Twice a day. Or three times a day, get a bucket that your foot can fit in with very, very hot water full of Epsom salts. Soak it 20 minutes twice a day. Epsom salts are a miracle cure and will help fight infection and especially soaking a toenail that digs into the skin.
I'm all for Epsom salts. I'm a big believer in that. I thoroughly concur with your theory. However, when you are a diabetic, you better, if you're at the point of infection, better get that biopsied and treated.
Oh, yeah. But,
and that's where we are.
You can, like, you can jump in and...
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But at this point, and she's had this for...
Head on with, you know, fight it topically and, you know, semi-topically.
All right.
Good old-fashioned Epsom salt.
Thanks. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Okay,
I'm
bye.
Not mad at you.
Yeah, good deal. All right. Yeah. Actually, Joe Chambers, his mentor was Billy Sherrill. And, you know, as far as country music, I think Billy hung the moon. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. But, yeah, unfortunately, most of the Halls of Fame, and the Nashville thing's totally different. And can't make that clear enough. But most of them are here today, gone tomorrow, whether it's doo-wop or rhythm and blues. And there have been many, 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 and they just last about a minute. But that's a whole different thing. Yeah, like John Brooke even had the Hit Parade Hall of Fame, and sadly it died with him because he left it to the wrong person. But that's a soap opera. I'll spare you. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley. Before I get into this, a couple of examples of some interesting monorails around the world.
Uh-huh.
Mount Spur is about to blow up over there in Alaska. I don't know if you might be able to see something like that if it does blow.
No, not here, but yeah. That will be interesting, won't it?
Yeah, they said like 30,000 residents have been alerted, so kind of it's imminent. So
yeah, no, it's...
get ready.
It's absolutely a major chaos. They're expecting that. So, yeah, it's interesting. I think the last time was about, I don't know, 30 years ago. It does occasionally. So so you bet. I think the first time, and the first time was a shock to people, was like 1960.
And oh, okay. So,
and then every few years, like I say, and the last one was about 30 years ago. You're not talking about heavy populated areas, to say the least. Thank God.
Yeah, right.
You know, but still, it'll be interesting. And yeah, they monitor it and all that kind of stuff. So, and they've been looking at this one for over a year now. You know, so they're saying, well, it's likely it could be in the next few weeks. You know, I don't know how well we really predict that. I know they do overflights and they look at the elevated gas emissions and all that, but still, it's a guess.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they get.
Yeah. So this monorail thing, I got a pretty interesting examples here. There's one here in China called Chongqing, Q-U-I-N-G, C-H-O-N-G, Q-I-N-G.
Okay.
It's supposed to be the largest one in the world. And Daily Mail shows it going right through an apartment complex. I mean, that's something right there.
Yeah, talk about door-to-door service, I guess.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's about 20 years old now. It's been there a while.
Alton Towers.
Yeah.
In the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So traveling through a building.
Obviously Vegas has one. Yeah. South Korea.
Yeah. Spokane used to have a small one, a remnant of the World's Fair. I'm not sure it's there anywhere anymore, but they used to.
Okay. So, I like this one in Germany, Wupper, W-U-P-P-E-R-T-A-L, suspended railway.
Okay.
I like that one.
Okay. Yeah.
Goes underneath.
Why not?
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Yeah. So I got one more day on this assignment, and then.
How are you liking
next week
it?
I'm looking.
How are you liking doing it?
It's okay. I mean, it's only a week.
Yeah.
I mean, next week I got the, it's like a sleep study that I've been doing over a year. They're going to give me a watch, so they monitor my sleeping patterns, and I do some exercises on a Kindle, and then I get a $200 Amazon card.
Oh, yeah?
So that's pretty neat. Yeah. And, I did go to that career thing, RBJ, but that was a bust because that was more like a nursing to hire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Adventist Health had a whole, like, second floor up there. I go, oh, okay, you guys got the whole floor. And, but, yeah, it was catered to, like, nursing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and
yeah,
boy knows,
it out when,
they certainly need nurses. I mean, that's one of the things that.
It's high demand, yeah.
Yes, it is very high demand. I know a number of places that spend a lot on commercials just to advertise for nurses. Yes.
Yep. That explains the fare. Yep. There you go.
So, yeah. All right. Well, good luck. Let me know. Keep me posted.
Yeah. Keep trying. Yeah. Something will turn up, but yeah.
All right.
At least the temps will help us some.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, good deal. Thanks,
all right,
appreciate
have a good
it.
Yeah,
you too.
Take care.
All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll pick it up there, and we'll talk to Nick in Baltimore and Stephanie in Madison and Judy in Grays Lake and Cindy and Laura and hopefully you too. And if not, remember, next week, full shows all week, Monday Night Trivia, but after that, absolutely a free-for-all. Coming up on WGN Radio.
I heard you're getting married. Heard you're getting married. This time you're really sure. And this is the end. They say you really mean it. This guy's the one that makes you feel so safe, so sane, and so secure.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. As I was saying, they called on the Brooklyn Bridge because no one was betting on that being a hit. But Johnny Maestro came through for us, that's for sure. 1968 on Buddha. There were several follow-ups like Your Husband, My Wife, and Blessed is the Rain and all that, but none of those really did anything. But however, worst that could happen, huge hit, and as well it should be. Jimmy Webb wrote it, and Wes Farrell produced it. So that was Jim's request in Richmond, and so you got to hear it this week after all, so happy to play it. And yeah, just had to move somebody out of the way who requested something last month, but don't feel bad about that. All right, we will go back, speaking of requests, many weeks ago next, I promise on that. But we will pick it up right there, right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
I moved your pictures from my walls, and I them, both large and small, and each new cause nothing takes the place of you. I read your letters one by one, and I still love you when it's all said and done. And oh, my darling, oh, I'm so blue, because nothing, oh, but nothing takes the place of you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It was Eric and Champagne who wanted to hear the Asleep at the Wheel version of Nothing Takes the Place of You. And I was happy to do that in 1975 on Capitol. Tommy also produced that, but originally a hit in 1967 for Toussaint McCall, who used to work for Stan Lewis in Shreveport at Ron Records. All right, so there you have that. Now, before we do anything else, Judy in Grays Lake says, wait a minute. All right, so Judy, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. I heard that man, who evidently does not have diabetes T2, espouse on the wonders of soaking your feet and your body in Epsom salts. Free advice is just free, okay? It doesn't mean it's correct. Read the labeling and the package, people. It will tell you. Diabetic, not for diabetic use.
Good.
Now think of this. Restaurants, if they have a burnt coffee pot, they soak it overnight with like kosher salt or even Epsom salts, and then in the morning it's completely clean. It will tear your skin.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because as I mentioned that Fran was diabetic, and I really don't know about the use for diabetes, so that's very good to know. Now, of course, Epsom salt, as you well know, is nothing more than magnesium sulfate. What's amazing to me these days, because it used to be something that was used regularly internally as a laxative, is that most of the Epsom salts you buy today at the big box stores or whatever, you better not take that internally. It is absolutely not meant for that. And yet people do. But as far as somebody who is not diabetic and absolutely healthy, I don't have a problem with Epsom salts as far as that goes.
No, but when there is a warning on the packaging.
Well, and you know, there's not enough. Right. And there's not enough of that warning anymore. So it is good to know. And I was sort of hesitant, like I say, because I don't know about the situation with diabetes. And that's very good to know. Even if it was okay, I think at this stage, Fran needs a doctor, nothing else.
And she needs to step up and be her own advocate.
Yes,
She can't go in there being a milkweed.
Agreed.
That's fast.
Absolutely, because this has been many months, and I'm worried. So, yeah.
I mean, I have so many ologists, and I'm on Social Security.
Yeah, I love that.
And, you know, you go broke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But. No. You have to take care of yourself, and if you don't think or feel it's in your best interest, you just keep pursuing.
Agreed. Agreed wholeheartedly. And thanks for the advice on diabetes. Something told me that there might be an issue with that. It's good to know.
Okay, just trying to help people out here.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you called and said that, John came running in here and says, you have me soak my feet in Epsom salts all the time. I said, yes, and you're not a diabetic. Keep soaking. All right. All right, thanks.
All
appreciate
right.
it. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
bye.
Exactly. So that's a whole other thing. 888-876-5593. In fact, we were going to soak today and didn't. But yeah, you can bathe in it. Now, remember, it is magnesium. And don't forget that transdermally, I mean, when you're sitting in a tub of this, you are going to be exposed to that magnesium. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, that could have some unexpected results, too. when you least want them. All right, so 888-876-5593. Stephanie and Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio. And we lost Stephanie. But thank you for trying, Stephanie. I appreciate it. All right, so let's see. We've got Nick in Baltimore. All right, Nick, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Raleigh?
So glad you called. Well, what's up?
A little bit of pain tonight. Back pain. So
God. Anyway. Back pain is the worst. People don't realize it, but that's just the worst. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's just been hitting me. It's very damp, and it's the weather's bad here. I had a request, but I found a Steak and Shake. The closest one to here is Fairfax, Virginia, I think.
That's going to be a drive.
Yeah, so at least it's there is around here, you know, so.
Well, you know, you want to check, and I hadn't really thought about this till they used to have one in here in Tempe, is sometimes when they're franchised, they're not like the owned and operated stores. So before you make the trip, find out if it's an O&O.
Well, yeah. But I just wanted to mention that. I had a request, though, real quick. Betty, My Love by the Cadillacs.
Oh, I played that for you already, but I'll play it again.
Oh, you played it?
Okay. I did. You requested that before. Yeah, we talked about it because, of course, that is a takeoff on Eddie, My Love.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. Anything by James Brown.
Oh, all right. You got it.
You pick it.
All right. All right. I thought you were going to say anything by the Cadillacs. But all right, we'll do James Brown.
Anything by the Cadillacs or James Brown.
Okay. I promise.
I trust your judgment.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it. All right. Good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Cindy in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, I just thought of a podiatrist story that was in the neighborhood newspaper about 30 years ago. There was, my cousin, when it happened, he was still living. He told me the podiatrist is like the lowest doctor on the food chain.
Well, let's not go there.
But they don't make much money. You know, that's what I meant. But then anyhow, the doctor shot the witness like 7 times because she was going to turn him in. So just be careful with the back.
I don't think Fran's going to get murdered, but you're right. Absolutely. Check the temperament beforehand.
Be real careful how you be real firm with him, but you know, you don't, yeah.
You don't want to be shot.
But then, there's a butter recall.
Yes.
The butter?
I know, Cabot Cream. And it does make you wonder. And by the way, don't worry about it in Illinois. There's only 7 states involved: Arkansas, Connecticut, Maine, New Hampshire, New York, Pennsylvania, and Vermont. Okay, so that...
But where?
That's it. No, how the fecal matter got in there, we don't want to know that story. You see, there's some...
Yeah,
Ignorance is bliss. Well, I don't mind saying the words. I just don't want to understand how it got in the butter. All the things that come to mind, I'm saying control, alternate, delete. Yes. All right.
But then anyhow, I have a song. I don't know if you would play it. Lady Jane.
Who's it by?
Rolling Stone.
Oh. Probably not. I played a Rolling Stone tonight. I need to, you know, relax a little bit.
That's what reminded me of it.
I was afraid of that. Yes. Well, it could be a while. But I'll write it down.
All right. Today was my birthday, and I had a real quiet day.
Oh, happy birthday. Oh, in fact, now that you mentioned that, happy birthday to you. When Tubby called, we should have mentioned happy birthday to her, because that was Tuesday this week. All right, so both of you had birthdays this week. Birthday girls.
Yeah, I turned 63, and...
Oh, a child.
I dumped the day trading for today and went to... I did a little grocery shopping. I got Italian butter cookies at Jewel, and they were decorated for Easter, and I went to Nordstrom and Old Orchard and window shopped.
Ah, all right, well, good.
Sometimes when I go like over there, I get so tired from walking, and I wasn't even tired today.
Excellent. So it was a good day all the way around. Well, happy, happy birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice day.
Good.
All right.
Glad to hear it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you for wishing me a happy birthday.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks. So, yes, 63, a young 63. How about that? But, yes, I meant to say that to Tubby because I believe it was Tuesday. And after a while, though, you know, I try to ignore the fact they're a birthday. Yeah, I don't tend to celebrate them anymore. I guess you could say, well, I'm above ground. I should celebrate that, but not much more. Laura and Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right, what's up?
Rest of the day. Well, I was flipping through stations, and this short documentary came up about the station nightclub fire. And wow. I just had me scratching my head. First of all, I don't know who they wound up. They blamed this one guy, and his whole life was a mess because they blamed this one guy. Yeah. And it's like, and how big was this place that it just went up in smoke so fast?
Well, there were a lot of, this is Warwick, Rhode Island. And this was actually, it was a radio station sponsored event. But this was a location that basically had hosted hard rock groups and things like that since the 80s. And the deal is that previously, some local bands had used pyrotechnics without incident. There was a Kiss tribute band and all that, but unfortunately, in this case, Jack Russell's Great White was the deal. It was an offshoot of the original Great White, led by lead singer Jack Russell, obviously. And so they were best known for a number of an Ian Hunter cover and stuff like that. And in their performance, they used pyrotechnics. And then the question was on this, because they've been using that on an 18-date tour. You know, Warwick wasn't the first one. And some of the club owners just denied them permission, period, saying you're just not gonna do that. And so, in fact, there was an Asbury Park concert where actually it was at the Stone Pony. And the owner of the Stone Pony was having a fit because he said the band used pyrotechnics on February 14th, even though they did not have my permission, and their contract writer did not mention pyrotechnic display. So, and he was coming up.
Oh, man. After,
yeah. So, meanwhile, there were two opening acts on February 20th, and some group from Vancouver and a local group as well, and they tried to be. Had to be fine, and there was, like I said, there was a radio station tie-in. WHJY was Dr. Metal, the jock there, was involved with that, and they started their performance. And you know, this is heavy metal, so it's like 11 o'clock at night, and 462 people were in attendance. That's important because the club only held 404. That was its license.
Oh, wow!
So they began performing Desert Moon. That was the opening song, and so they set off the pyrotechnics. In fact, their tour manager ignited a flammable acoustic foam. And yeah, what could possibly go wrong there?
Yeah.
And right. And so, you know, this was set to spray sparks 15 feet in the air for 15 seconds.
Oh, no.
All right. So, you know, that became obviously the principal cause of the fire. The insulation foam was ignited. The flames were visible all over the place. Within 9 seconds of ignition, the wall is inflamed and all of that. 20 seconds after they ended this, the band stopped playing. The lead singer said, "Wow, that's not good." And within 40 seconds, the band leaves the stage and the fire alarms start to sound. But it was not connected. The alarm was not connected to the fire department. There was no sprinkler system. And so smoke is everywhere within 1 minute after ignition. And of course, now you know what's coming. The crowd's going to leave the building, and you can imagine. And there weren't that many ways to leave. So the building was engulfed within 6 minutes. And so, you know, there were four exits. And most of the people were heading for the front door the way they came in. And of course, now you know that one of the biggest problems with deaths wasn't fire, it was being crushed. And now what's worse is that some of the survivors reported that bouncers had blocked the doors the stage doors, because some people close to the front want to leave by the stage doors, and the bouncers blocked it and say, that's only for the band. Well. Within a minute, of course, people have cell phones and they're calling the fire department, and, you know, you have the police on the scene immediately. And I think if this went up at like 11:06 or something, I think it took the fire department 10 minutes or within 10 minutes they're there. But even so, and you had hundreds of firefighters on the scene. I mean, Warwick and Coventry and Cranston, everybody is there. And there was a restaurant across the street, and they were sort of turned into a triage center and a command center for first reporters. Now, before midnight, the roof collapsed. And then right after that, a second portion collapsed in another part. And so this was not good. The local hospital, oh, wow, Kent, was absolutely filled to capacity. And, I'd say by 1:30, it was cleared. You know, I mean, that's not to say there weren't a lot of people injuries and a lot of aftermath, but, I mean, they absolutely cleared the scene fairly quickly. And of 462 people, again, remember, only 404 were supposed to be in there, but here's the deal. 100 were killed. 230 were injured. And then 132 just had a story to tell. And so 96 of them died at the scene. A couple more of them died in the hospital in the following weeks. And in fact, the guitarist for Great White died. And the disc jockey, Dr. Metal, died. So some employees of the venue died. And so I believe that the people who owned the venue, they were fined like $1 million for failing to carry workers' compensation. And the lawsuits took a decade. The judge upheld the $1 million fine like in 2013, but it was a full decade. And this was, you know, this is a small community by and large, and it affected people. In fact, a number of people who survived it wound up with post-traumatic stress. Now, interestingly, WPRI-TV had the fire from its inception on videotape. So when it came to different, you know, versions of it in courts and stuff, and the reason they did is that the cameraman from WPRI was there for, you talk about irony. He went there because WPRI was going to do one of those news reports on nightclub safety. Now, the interesting thing is that one of the people who was going to be involved in that clip was the part owner of the station, the Dardarians.
Oh, dear.
And so, anyway, and by the way, that happened, the reason they were going to have this report is what happened earlier in Chicago, because remember E2, because that was a stampede in Chicago, 21 people were killed. And so they thought, oh, well, we'll do one here. Yeah, well, and so there were all sorts of things because, of course, Jeffrey Deridian, the reporter, was also a part owner. His family owned the station. So obviously he had to resign from his job. And so that was the end of them. And as soon as the pyrotechnics stopped, the flame was just all over the place. It just whooshed to the ceiling as far as that goes. It was horrible. So that was going on. The venue was built in the 40s, and it was exempt from a sprinkler requirement. There was a grandfather clause.
Oh, gosh, really?
So, yeah, because anything constructed before 1976 didn't need a sprinkler system. So, of course, they convened a grand jury, don't you know? And they announced indictments against the owners of the venue and charged them with 100 counts of involuntary manslaughter and criminal negligence. Mm. And so the fire marshal was not charged again because two things. Number one, a lot of the problems were grandfathered, so he wouldn't have had a way to do that anyway. The other thing is state law prevented charges against fire marshals without proof of bad faith, which it wasn't bad faith. And they also did not return any charges against the band's lead singer. And that became very controversial because, again, like I say about the owner of the club in Asbury Park, they were saying, you know, hey, this band was doing this without our knowledge. And one of the problems was the owners of the venue obviously they're always trying for insulation and things like that. Well, and they'd had a lot of noise complaints, so they installed foam insulation in the ceiling and the wall. Anyway, it was flammable.
And oh, so, no.
Yeah, it was flammable. And they also had other things removed due to noise prohibitions, but it just trapped people is what happened. And so, you know, it was indisputable that the flammable foam packing instead of fire retardant was going to be the problem. And so then that got into, did the owners know that this was flammable, or, you know, how about the contractors? And so American Foam gets in it, and, you know, because, and by the way, an employee of American Foam lived right by the nightclub, and he claimed that the company knew about the fire dangers but did not warn anyone. You know, other people said, no, the station knew about it and didn't warn anybody. So anyway, there eventually American Foam paid $6.3 million to the families of the 100 victims, which doesn't go very far when you're dividing it by 100. But right. Again, a number of these deaths were not fire. It was being trampled. And so, you know, there were other people saying, well, was it based on the way the venue was set up? There were pool tables. Could they have been moved and all that? And then there were other people saying the capacity wasn't 404. It was actually only 250, depending on how the building was being used. And so here come the criminal trials. And there were a number of them, and you can read all about them. And I say that because John says, you're out of time. You've ended the show. So I'll talk to you later.
Wow.
I promise I'll tell you the rest of the story if you don't know it.
All right.
Call
Amazing.
Me back.
Thanks,
okay,
Riley.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, because there were sentences as well. But John says, shut up. And so I'm shutting up on WGN Radio.